Well, happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Sunday Conversation with Sherry Shante and Sharika.
Hey.
We are here today to share some great information about a great platform. And who do we have on the line today?
My name is Sydney Coggins. It's nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you too, Sydney. So let the listeners know a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am a 22-year-old and I am about to graduate from Columbus State University.
Whoop, whoop.
My bachelor, yeah, thank you.
That one accomplishment in itself. So doing this along with the pageant world, I'm sure is an amazing feat. So congratulations to you and your accomplishments thus far. Woo woo.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm a biology major and I'll be getting my minor in dance. I've been doing ballet for about 17 years now. And that's kind of why I try to combine my love for biology and my passion for ballet into my degree.
Now that's pretty neat right there. I did ballet when I was all of 4 years old, right? And my fond memory is being in the studio in a little leotard and jumping across a record that was in the middle of the floor. So good times, but it is good to see you involved in ballet. And I would just like to know like how you got involved with that because it's not, maybe for me, it's not really a sport, do we call it that? That a lot of people we see going into.
Yeah, I agree because, you know, a lot of times when I think about my daughter and myself, we think of dance, we think of jazz, we think of
maybe hip-hop.
Majorette, hip-hop dancing. Yeah. But ballet seems to be so formal and classical and elegant. I'm interested to know how you chose and you landed on ballet as well.
Well, at about 3 years old, my parents put me in a tap ballet jazz combo. And I did not have the rhythm for jazz.
So we might be sisters.
Welcome
I don't have
to our world. Yes.
So I mean, I kind of got a little bit later, but not too much. But the other two kind of dropped off, and I just stuck with it. Yeah, and so kind of think.
That's amazing, though.
Enrolled me, and I've been in since then.
Right. Is there a certain? Do you have like a favorite move or dance?
I would say there's this thing called port de bras where it's talking about how your arms move. And I feel like I really love doing that move because it shows off how fluid I can be. Like I feel like a little bird, you know.
If you could see in the studio, I'm trying to mimic arm moves of what I think a ballet
right
dancer does. So I'm so glad we're not visible right now.
I was kind of flapping too.
And 17 years, that's a commitment. So congratulations on that.
And so locally, just curious for the listening audience, anyone interested in joining the ballet world, where do you get ballet instructions from locally?
So another tidbit or a little secret, I would love to plug them in, but they have not sponsored me yet. So, but locally, I would search for something that says either conservatory, that's how you get really formal training for ballet, or if you want something that's, that has hip-hop and jazz as well, you look for a dance studio.
Okay.
So conservatory just means something a little bit more serious in terms of training. And then studio means anyone can join, which is more open to also adult dancers. If y'all want to join me one day, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool.
And I also do private coaching as well. And I can give you a little session if you like.
I love it. And it sounds pretty cool. So is your talent in the pageants, is it related to ballet?
It is, yes. I am performing a classical ballet piece called Emeralds from a George Balanchine work called Jewels. So I'm literally a dancing emerald.
Awesome. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So outside of the biology major and the ballet, what else do you do to kind of prepare and make yourself a well-rounded candidate for the pageant world?
I think for the past few months, I've just been trying new extracurricular activities. Like I recently went zip lining, and this is just to put myself out there and feel the adrenaline and know how to control my emotions in those moments, because I feel like you can prepare over and over and over, but what really is the determining factor of being successful is managing those nerves in those moments. So I would just say trying something new and scary, something safe,
right?
But new and adventurous.
And that's, I think that's a skill that translates over to a lot of different things, because a lot of times we stay in a little pocket because we're comfortable and we don't know if we like something until we try it, you know? So I definitely think that kind of pushing yourself and trying a different skill is admirable and something that we all should, you know, try for. So I think that's really cool.
And I think it's something that's going to continue to challenge you and anybody who's in this world or any field, just because, just like you said, managing your emotions and controlling those, we get put in situations all the time where we have to have a poker face or it's not appropriate for us to actually express what we actually feel. And that game face is, I am sure it's critical to what you do as well, because there's not always happy moments in the pageant world. But you want to have pride, and you know, you want to be a good sport about certain things. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a skill in itself.
It is.
I think transitioning from like the ballet world to the pageant world, it is so different. There's a sense of community, but no one really talks in ballet. It's more so you're studying people's body languages, and in pageantry people just, you know, they say when they're scared, when they're tired, when they're happy, but in ballet, no one says it. It's like, if you're tired or happy or scared or hurt, you're going to perform no matter what. But I definitely can tell this style of, this hobby, or for some people, it's their dream as well.
Right.
It feels like a family in a sense. And it's more forgiving to when you do make a mistake. They're like, it's okay, try again.
Mm-hmm. And that's great to have that support system.
Mm-hmm. Because you need that as well. So we're going to switch topics and talk about your community involvement. What are some things that you're passionate about? And share with us the platform that you're working with right now.
So my platform is Watershed Protection. And a watershed is an area of land that drains like all into one place. So we all live in a watershed. If you know, you live in Columbus, like, so our watershed is the Chattahoochee River, and then there are other streams and creeks that also roll into each other. Some things I've done for the community was I traveled to LaGrange and I participated in a restoration project where we planted native species, so basically grass, and the grass was just basically to help stop erosion in certain areas. Sometimes, you know, we love a nice Kentucky sod, we love our nice grass, but we have to remember our native plants, they consume less water. And when you see roads have sinkholes, or like when half of the street is crumbling, you know, under itself, it's usually because there weren't proper regulations in restoring the plants that were there. So the reason why I picked it was because I want to see this world look beautiful, and I want our children and our children's children to have clean drinking water and recreational water as well. And it definitely impacts minority and low-income communities as well, because I found out through my internship that these places with high contents of E. coli, or as I call them, poop particles, are usually in low-income and minority communities, but no one cares because the income is low. But I want us to care about every person, no matter what their tax bracket is.
So that's very interesting. When you sent me the information about it, I've heard of Watershed before, but I don't, the awareness just hasn't been there for me, right? So as you're tying this into like our community and our environment, and we notice that there are structures that are like crumbling, there might be water that in some areas is worse off than water in other areas. It is eye-opening. And as a community, I guess my question to you is, how do we bring more awareness to it? And are there things that we can do maybe on a daily basis to help with this?
Yes. You would call your local, like for Columbus, it would be Columbus Water Works. So you would call and say, hey, I smell something. Something's kind of fishy. You know, not literally, but something's really off with the water. And they'll come and do an inspection of it. But what we can do is just not litter or throw our trash out the window. I definitely noticed there's a lot of trash in the city.
There is a lot of trash.
I think we need a lot of trash.
And let me just say, I noticed this is just me, the uptick in it, maybe in the last 2 years, it just seems like people are just not throwing their trash where it should go.
Mm-mm. Yes. I think the city could probably provide more trash cans. And I will be honest with you, I'm not a Columbus native. I come from a smaller town, so we all take our trash to the dump, as we call it. But I notice here that people pay for their trash to be taken away. I was kind of confused about it. Could y'all explain that to me as well? Like, have y'all always had to pay to take your trash or have your trash picked up?
So our trash is included with our water bill. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's all connected. There's a fee when we pay the water bill, there's a fee for our water and then there's a fee for trash. And so, yeah, right. And so I think like maybe in the areas outlining Columbus, I know people take their trash somewhere, right, and dump it. But for us, the city would come and pick up the trash. And so in the last few months, they have provided more receptacles for us to be able to dispose of our trash. But I think just my perspective during the pandemic, because things were so all over the place and resources were limited, it's my understanding that trash, you know, that whole service was disrupted. And so I think people just started throwing their trash out just wherever, you know, and polluting, littering the city. And so since then, we've had trash cans provided to us so that we can dispose of our trash the correct way.
And it helps encourage recycling as well, too.
Right.
I was curious about it. Thank you for explaining that to me. I did not know. Thank you for taking the time out to explain that.
Well, I'm curious about your internship. What are some things that you do in your internship to help support the watershed efforts?
Okay, yeah. So I was interning at the Chattahoochee River Keepers in LaGrange, Georgia. And so my position was a water quality specialist intern. And so I would go to various areas in Columbus, maybe about 14 locations, and I would get down on my knees and I would I have something to collect water. So I would have to reach down into the drain, drop it down, and pick it back up, take it to the lab, and basically inspect for E. coli and coliform. And so doing that on a daily basis will tell us whether or not, like, if there's a spike in, like, E. coli. And so sometimes it could come from pastures, you know, like when people have cows, and other times it could be bad or old plumbing. So with those efforts, I would put them into a spreadsheet, or that's the only word I can think for. Yes, I put them into a spreadsheet, and then my supervisor would, like, make sure that everything had like an average level of content each time I would finish my rounds.
So for the student that wants to get involved, what are some classes is there a path that you take to get to where you are today? Just starting early.
For watershed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. There are multiple, like, river keepers and conservancy agencies. So what I would do is probably look to your local one, and there's actually a volunteer section. And I would start there, like going to the volunteer workshops. They give, like, free courses during, like, your workshop. And they said, oh, we're doing this because of that. And if we keep doing this, then that won't happen. So, yes. Going to local volunteer opportunities, and they are literally everywhere. The most recent one I can think of is, like, the Chattahoochee River Keepers did a paddle, I don't know what it's called, But they did basically a paddle kayaking movement where they would paddle and pick up the trash in the river. And this was in Columbus and Atlanta and spread out all from here to there.
So what if I'm scared of the water?
You know, some people, I can swim. Sugar, right. Can you swim?
I can swim.
Okay, some people can't swim and they might be a little fearful of the water.
Right.
Yes, me included. I also was wondering, why am I a 22-year-old that can't swim?
That's an opportunity, you know, right there.
Yes, but I said, you know what? I care about our environment and how we're affecting it, and maybe I can just wear a life jacket.
Right.
They do provide life jackets. And me, I'm trying to take some swimming courses. If y'all want to teach me one day, that would be great, you know.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. And do you have to be good in science? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, you're fine.
Do you have to be good in science, too? Because I know you said, like, you took samples and you did different things with the water. If this is a career path, is science, like, something that you really need to be engaged in?
Yes, as a career path, you for sure would have to have a degree in either biology or environmental science. But I see you can get just as much involved without a degree as well. And, like, volunteer efforts and going to different agencies and saying, hey, what can I do to help? Because at the end of the day, we are, you know, we're picking up trash too. So, you know, like, we're helping. It's kind of like a glamorized tree-loving
a little bit of tree hugging, a little bit of public health. Yeah, so when you initially mentioned you were a biology major, my head went to, you know, healthcare. And in a sense, with you, what you're doing with the watershed and making sure the water is pure and not contaminated and all the testing, yes, it connects so much more clearly for me, because now I can see the connection between the science. Thank you, Sharika.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Sydney. The science in it, along with how it is a public health issue as well.
Yes, you in this career as well, most people with biology, they do go to med school after this, but I definitely want to go in the wildlife ecological aspect because I really like being outside. I hate pollen, I hate mosquitoes, but I love the sun, and I just feel like it puts me in a good mood. So I said, you know what, I want a career in this. I want to go to a type of job where I'm outside and I'm basically just playing like a little kid and still, you know, making enough to pay rent as well, too.
Right. I think that's everybody's life dream.
Yes.
To be an adult kid.
Right.
Yes.
And recess.
Yeah. Snack time and recess. Can we sign a bill for that, please?
Yes. And that's the cool part. I'm able to take my snack break or lunch break whenever, as long as, you know, I do the proper sanitation techniques and take my gloves off and wash. It's a very rewarding career. I'm very excited and hoping that I'm able to get into the positions where I can just have a good work-life balance. Or even if the lines are blurred, I still want to enjoy being at my job, you know?
Yes, definitely. That is a topic for a whole nother day. Work-life balance.
That's going to be a series. Work-life balance. And you have jump-started it.
Exactly. But I mean, you get to a point, and I think we are created with that desire to want to be happy and do work that brings us satisfaction. So when you find that, it doesn't feel like work, you know, like how you're describing it and just listening to your excitement about it. Obviously it's something that's near and dear to your heart, and it won't feel like work because you're doing something that you really are passionate about.
What's the old saying? If you'll do it for free, you know you love it.
Right.
Yes.
So
I do want to touch on that. I also touching on, like, as y'all were speaking of ballet, usually we do majorette and hip hop. That was another thing. I think as Black women as well, I feel like we are stereotyped into different, you know, different careers, different hobbies, different areas. And
definitely,
this was definitely one of them. They're like, wait, you know, you can't swim. And I was like, oh, I know. But I think the best part about it, like, I remember I was in high school and I was in this environmental science class, and my teacher invited this water quality specialist to come to the class, and she was just like, hey guys, we're gonna put on waders, which are just boots that go up to your chest, and she said, we're gonna go jump in the river. And we all looked at each other like, my hair, you know, like, I right. got it done, you know.
Because you know mom will get on you if you do not have that cap on your head. You Ooh. Cannot get your hair wet.
And I had a Jerry curl when I was little, so.
Yeah, he's perma relaxer, you know, back in the day.
Exactly. We have to prepare for the water.
We do. Yes.
And we explained that because obviously our the guest was different race, and so we had to explain to her, we need some time. We want to prepare. We need some time to prepare. We
can't right.
just, you know, jump in. So after we prepared, we got in the water, and it was an experience I had never felt before. I said, wow, I can enjoy this without swimming, because you really are just standing in a low knee level river. And in that, she taught us how to take the pH, the conductivity, you know, meaning there's electricity in the water, how much dirt is in the water, mm-hmm. and just many things. And I said, you know what, I want to do this for a living.
Right.
And yeah, that's kind of what sparked my whole interest in biology and watershed protection.
Right. And you know, it's interesting that you say that too, because I think sometimes there are fields that we're maybe not so in tune with just because of the mindset, you know, or what we're used to. So you've never mm-hmm. seen anything like that. You've never seen that career. You've never been exposed to it. So you're not used to, like, what yeah. all, you know, yeah, what all goes into that? What am I supposed to, how do I prepare, you know? Yeah. And so to me, now that you are gaining that experience and that's the path that mm-hmm. you want to go down, when there's a career day and you go to someone's school and they see you, they'll be like, huh, somebody that looks like me, I've never heard of that. You know, tell me more. And it's the ongoing cycle.
And what did we talk about last week? Representation yes. is so important. It is. Definitely.
It helps.
It does.
So
it does. People ask me, like, who are you inspired by? And I was like, well, the representation isn't there, you know, so I have to.
You're building
the representation it. I want to see, but it does get lonely at times, you know.
Yeah.
So you're your own path.
Right.
And look, you're going to have those techniques to say, hey, this is what I do. This is how I prepare. Mm-hmm. I got my hair done last week, and this week is going to be good to go because these are the challenges that I've overcome.
Right.
Not saying that those are the big challenges, but those are some things that we do consider in our community. At least I do personally.
Exactly. Well, this has really been a good conversation. How can our mm-hmm. listeners follow you or learn more about the Watershed Awareness or program?
And also, most importantly, mm-hmm. you know, anyone who wanted to sponsor you mm-hmm. or help you towards getting to your goals, whether it's the pageant or the mm-hmm. Watershed mm-hmm. Efforts, how do we reach out to you?
Okay. Well, first, financially, we love a good donation. I'm going to plug in my Cash App.
Yeah. Can we do a round of applause right. on that? Yes.
A round of applause for Cash App.
Yes.
So it is SOPO123. That is if you want to give a lovely donation to me. my Instagram is Miss Historic Columbus 22. You can also follow me at Sydney Coggins if you love me but not the pageant stuff. I have a separate Instagram for that as well.
Okay.
And if you want to participate in efforts involving watershed protection, I would definitely follow the Chattahoochee River Keepers in LaGrange, Georgia.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, this has been a really eye-opening conversation. I feel like I was sitting in class without really sitting there, learned some science and environmental awareness and just ways that we can help out in our environment, because everything is connected, which is something that we mm-hmm. also have to keep in mind. If I throw my water bottle on Winton Road and it gets, mm-hmm. you know, makes its way to the Chattahoochee River, obviously it's impacting the environment and everything else in a negative way. So we want to be more cautious about how we treat the world that we're living in. So I appreciate you, Sydney, and talking with us today. And we just wish you the best in your endeavors.
Thank you, Sharika and Sherry, for
Thank
having
you.
Me. Y'all are amazing. I looked off on LinkedIn. Love your work.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and we're following you on Instagram, and we look forward to seeing greatness out of you. Good luck and congratulations to you on graduating with your degree in biology. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And yes, this has been a great, great conversation. Like Sharika said, you know, it's like those the butterfly effect of everything. And, you know, the way you broke it down when you start talking about E. coli in the water.
Right.
I'm like, thank you, Sydney, for the work that you do.
No problem. Hey, somebody got to do it.
Right. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
You too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care. So this has been another great Sunday with Sherry and Sharika.
It has been. You know, I recycle and I feel like I do some justice to the environment. But now Sydney has me looking at things in a totally different light. So, yeah, it was a great conversation. And I can't wait to see who we have next week.
Oh, I think it's going to be exciting. But we're not going to give them too much because we want it to be a surprise.
Tune
in for next Sunday's Sunday Conversations with Sherry Shante and
Sharika Day.
Y'all be easy and enjoy the day. Take care.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.